What is your only comfort in life and death? How would you answer that question? Well, here's one answer, an answer based on the teachings of the Bible. What is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood, and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life, and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for Him. That's from the Heidelberg Catechism, and it expresses the biblical hope of the gospel. Welcome to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff. Please join us as we spend a few minutes in God's Word, searching the Scriptures together and listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Breidenhoff.
Good afternoon. Welcome to this Thursday edition of Gospel Talk. This week on Gospel Talk, we've been considering the first six verses of Mark chapter 6. I think it'd be a good idea to read those verses one more time just so we set the stage for what we're going to talk about today. Then he went out from there, speaking about Jesus, and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit, teaching. And today we're paying special attention to that last verse, verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Jesus is amazed at the unbelief in Nazareth, in his hometown, place where he grew up. Now, up to this point in Mark's gospel, everyone has been amazed at Jesus, amazed at his miracles, sometimes amazed at his preaching. But here the tables are turned, and it's our Savior who is amazed. He's amazed because of a lack of faith, amazed because of unbelief. Why would he find that amazing? Well, friends, consider the synagogue library. In those days, people didn't have personal copies of the Bible or its individual books unless they were very wealthy. For most people, believing people, they would have parts of the Bible memorized, and they would go to the synagogue where there would be biblical scrolls in the library. The synagogue library consisted of the books of the Old Testament. The people in Nazareth had access to the riches of the promises made by God to his people in ages past, to people like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David. They could hear the Bible being read every Sabbath at the synagogue. They could hear the Bible being preached. They would have heard that God promised to crush the head of the serpent through the seed of the woman, that God was going to send a Messiah. But yet, when the fulfillment of all those promises is in their midst, on their pulpit, before their very eyes, he's met with unbelief. They take offense at him. They find him to be a scandal. It is amazing. Now, the question that this verse puts to us is simply this. Would the Lord Jesus be amazed for the same reason with us? You know, we don't have to go to the library, any library, to find a copy of the Bible. Our homes, if we're Christians, we have numerous copies of the Bible, I'm sure. We have multiple translations that we can use. Many of us have study Bibles with helpful notes. If you have the internet in your home, you can go on there. You can find a variety of online Bibles. In less than 10 seconds, you could look up every instance of any word or phrase in the Bible. We have an embarrassment of riches and resources that we can use. Many of us have commentaries to help us understand the difficult passages. You know, if we compare ourselves to those synagogue goers in Nazareth there in Mark 6, we are so incredibly and richly blessed. then what happens with all those riches? Are we really so rich when we don't use those riches? The question is, do we use those riches so that our faith grows, so that also the fruit of our faith is receiving the attention it needs? Or would the Lord Jesus come to us and would he stand in amazement that though we are so rich, yet we are so poor? Here you can think of the question the Lord asked in Luke 18, verse 8. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, friends, I would urge you to consider that question carefully. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Consider carefully the picture of our Lord Jesus here in Mark 6. It's a matter of eternal life and death. There is nothing, absolutely nothing more important than being certain that we are resting and trusting in Christ alone for our well-being here and now and for eternity. Paul said it in 2 Corinthians 5, and I can quote those words to you as well. I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God is again making his appeal to you through his word. Notice how the issue of identity comes up here again in Mark. You know, we've been looking at various passages from the gospel according to Mark over the last number of months. The one thing that Mark keeps coming back to is, who is Jesus? That's the question he wants to answer. And in this text, in this passage, we've seen that some regard him as the uneducated carpenter, the blue-collar worker, the hometown boy, the son of Mary. But a prophet? No way, not a chance. And the way they regard him and his identity has everything to do with belief and unbelief. You know, chapter 5 of Mark is sometimes regarded as the chapter of belief or the chapter of faith. And then chapter 6 is the chapter of unbelief. In this chapter, we see how Jesus responds to growing unbelief in his ministry. And the question from Jesus comes later on in Mark 8, verse 28. But we can ask it now too, and we need to consider that. But what about you? Who do you say I am? Indeed, dear friend, I would ask you to consider that question. Who do you say that Jesus is? Well, I get questions every now and then from listeners, and I certainly enjoy getting those questions. You can leave questions on the blog, gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com. You can also email them to me, gospeltalk@hotmail.com. Recently, somebody left a question on the Gospel Talk blog. Question with regards to Matthew 12, verses 41 to 42. Matthew 12, 41, the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here. And the listener asks, what is Matthew 12 saying? How does Nineveh slash Jonah connect to judgment day? That Nineveh was mighty and then humbled later in the Bible with destruction, and later the whole mighty world will be destroyed? Is the Queen of Sheba meant to be God? I'm wondering if God is the only one who can condemn people, as the verse claims she does, the Queen of Sheba. Is she the Antichrist, the persecutor of Christians? As you can see, there are a lot of different questions here. Well, in response, I would point out that in Matthew 12, the Lord Jesus was speaking to the Jews, to God's covenant people. And the Jews saw themselves as superior to the Gentiles. But then Jesus says, look at these Gentiles. When Jonah came and preached to them, they repented. But now that someone greater than Jonah is among you, you won't listen. You think you're better than the Gentiles. But actually, the truth is, they put you to shame. The same is true for the Queen of Sheba. Jesus is simply saying that these Gentiles reacted in the right way, and it's recorded in the Bible, but the Jews have reacted in the wrong way, and they will be judged by God for their refusal to learn from what is recorded in the Bible about Nineveh and about the Queen of Sheba. And also, we will also be judged if we, you know, have heard the word of God, and we know what God's word says about Christ and about the gospel, and we reject it. There will also be a harsher judgment for us. So I hope that answer satisfies the person who sent the question in. And like I said, if you do have any questions about the Bible or about the Christian faith, feel free to send them in. Well, tomorrow I'm going to be joined by Pastor Chris Gordon as we deal with important subjects, important matters in theology, and what's taking place in Christian churches around this continent. I hope you'll tune in and join us then. Till then, may God continue to richly bless you in every way.
You've been listening to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff. Our prayer is that this broadcast has been of benefit to you, shining gospel light on your daily path. This broadcast comes to you courtesy of the Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church. The Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church warmly welcomes visitors each Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. We're located at the corner of King and Mackenzie in Abbotsford. You can find more information about the Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church at our website, www.abbotsfordchurch.com. Again, that website is www.abbotsfordchurch.com. You can also write for more information or let us know if this program has encouraged you in some way. Write to Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, BC, V2Z1B3. That address again, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, BC, V2Z1B3. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Thanks for listening today. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff. Stay tuned tomorrow morning for more biblical teaching with Pastor Chris Gordon on Abounding Grace. That's tomorrow morning at 8:30 here on KARI 550 AM.